You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast, the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators. You can actually, on that topic, we're going to learn from our guest today, very interesting thing. This is original research on fractional leadership by somebody who's done that research. I'm going to get into introducing in a minute, but before I do, just want to remind everybody that also if you want to learn more about fractional executive leadership, we do have a free chapter of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach, that you can get on our website. That's wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. That's Wolfs with an S, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources to get several resources, one of which is a free chapter of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach. So you could definitely learn more there on this topic today. But with that, I want to get into introducing our very interesting guest today, who recently conducted research and authored his MBA thesis on the topic of interim and fractional leadership, did a lot of detailed work, a lot of interviews. I was one of the people interviewed. So it was, you could see from his work that he did a lot of work on this, a lot of research. I'm going to be sharing this thesis in the comments on this episode, in the social media, so you can get a copy of that and read it. He got that MBA at the Henley Business School at the University of Reading in England. He is the head of strategy at Omnicom, if I'm pronouncing that right, in Johannesburg, South Africa. And with that, I introduce you to Sifiso Pule. Welcome, Sifiso.
Hello, Ben. Lovely to be here. It's good to see you again.
Well, it is very good to see you again and to be having this conversation. I guess first of all, if you can give us all some background, right? Where did you come from? Sure. How did you get interested in this topic? Give us a quick 2-minute background that, to kind of walk us through how you got to be where you are today and interested in this topic.
Thanks so much, Ben. So my name is Sifiso Pule, and I am based out in Johannesburg. From my teen years, I was always curious about solving key problems and challenges, which can be sustainably commercialized. I was never one to desire for a specific kind of career. I was always curious, and I saw entrepreneurship as one of the best avenues to really just address all of those varied challenges that consumers face and businesses face. And in pursuit of that, I started out in publishing, trying to do some publishing work within a partnership, and that translated into us pursuing another concept with regards to driving advertising revenue, fixing challenges with lending information to people who needed it. And that led me to get a job offer. So, speaking to the fact that I'm always curious, always driving, challenging the status quo and trying to commercialize it, I dropped out of, varsity and began the entrepreneurship journey. And within the entrepreneurship journey—
And what's varsity? What does varsity mean?
University.
Oh, university, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And what happened was, I then got offered a job, within one of the people that we were working with at the time, and that began my formalized experience within commerce. And fast forward to about 20 years later, which is where we find ourselves today, I've had just under 20 years deep marketing services experience. And why I stayed that long, you may ask, within a specific career, is that marketing services offers the vast amount of opportunities to solve consumer problems, mm-hmm. Across the different brands that we serve within agency. So that's where I find myself at today. And as you correctly said, I'm the head of strategy for OMD, which is a part of Omnicom Media Group in Africa.
And so what led to the master's degree? Or the MBA? What led to that part of that step in the process?
That's a great segue just a throwback, I should say, to the fact that I did drop out. So my formalized education was put on pause as I pursued this career, in marketing services, which I never did pursue intentionally, but it just opened the door opened up itself organically, I guess through my work and through the relationships I had. And a couple of years ago, I was offered an opportunity to come and join Omnicom. And one of the things that I thought I'd pursue is the MBA that sought to really streamline the understanding that I had in terms of the solutions we currently offer as an agency, and also look at the business problems holistically for each of those clients. And the MBA was able to give me the broadest possible set of tools to address, you know, problems at different levels, not just in the communications side of things, or even just on route to market. And so I'm pleased to announce that I sit in front of you now with a research paper that achieved a distinction, and one that actually lends itself to further research, as you all know.
Well, congratulations. That is awesome, and certainly is a big accomplishment. How did you get interested, though, in fractional executive leadership? Like, it's a very specific topic. And like, what led you to learn about it, like to get interested in it, get, you know, think of using that as your topic to research and write on?
That's a great question, Ben. And, you know, it goes back to my sense of curiosity in terms of the key problems that organizations face. What is central in terms of what organizations deliver in terms of value are people. And as one of those curious individuals myself, I realized that, you know, the industrial era, you know, segmentation of work, the division of work, so to speak, is increasingly becoming out of date because of the changing economic landscape and the innovation that technology has offered in terms of route to market. And so what that requires as well is, you know, access to talent that is agile, that is experienced, but also embracing the sense of innovation. And so, what I observed in my time of working in marketing services and the businesses that we serve is that they struggle to attract, retain top talent, even at the executive level specifically. Mm-hmm. And this is often due to financial constraints and the lack of imagination, you know, and innovation, as I spoke to, within the current teams. And the leadership that's there. And so what top talent then offers is that innovation, but therefore they are constrained by what I term, you know, an outdated psychological contract with the employer. You know, they are limited in terms of just the scope of the impact that they could have. And so
what is that outdated psychological contract? What is that?
So the psychological contract, what came out in my research is that it looks at the relationship between the employer and the employee. Basically, it's a values exchange in terms of I commit my services, my time, in return for the value that I expect, not only just monetary. That is changing. That has been changing for some time because highly talented individuals are curious. They are looking for growth, and that growth is not only driven by money, and they want to solve meaningful problems and challenges, and hopefully, you know, have shared benefit in the resolution of those problems.
Well, let me ask you this: like, when you got into this topic and you started diving deep, like, what's one thing or a couple of things that you found most surprising, like that you didn't expect to find from your research?
Been the most surprising discovery for me. You know, I went in thinking that people are entertaining interim and fractional leadership purely for compensational increase, or remuneration increase, or increasing of the earning capability and capacity. But the surprising discovery was that the most participants placed flexibility and adaptability over financial motives as the key priorities. That was the most appealing thing, you know, in terms of the switching and transitioning to fractional leadership. And further, based on my literature review, the data that I looked at revealed that factors like ability to manage workload, adapt roles, and have schedule flexibility were cited as the key drivers for this.
That flexibility. It's interesting when I talk about why people go into fractional executive leadership, I identify sort of, for me, it's the three mores, right? It's more flexibility, more fun, and more money. So it's, flexibility is what you just spoke about. You know, you get more flexibility. You can make more in fewer, you know, sort of days of client work per week than you can when you're full time. Yep. And so therefore you could have more flexibility, you know, use that time for, you know, developing pipeline, getting new clients. You could use that for, you know, more long weekends and travel, or, you know, more time with kids, whatever it happens to be, with family, with other loved ones. So that flexibility, and as you spoke about, and more fun, I think, is just because it's more, and you spoke about this earlier as well, like it's just more satisfying. You get to come in, make a major impact, be there for a while, and move on to the next company that you could make a major impact in. But you're always able to, it's more fun because of the impact that you could make. You could see a big difference. It's not just kind of a long-term management of something over many years. So it's just more fun in that sense, but also more variety, which can be more fun for a lot of people. Rather than just being in one business and, you know, kind of one set of challenges most of the time. And then more money, just because, you know, I think that for most of the time, as you know, and this is what you expected to see, but I think this is also a benefit, is that you can make more than you can full time.
Absolutely.
And so I think because of that, I mean, I see those as the main attractions. But it's very interesting to see that, like, what you discovered is that, like, the top one is that flexibility element and that agility element, which is so interesting.
Yeah, it speaks to that sense of nuance in terms of the way of working and the present and future way of working, I should say, you know, which really empowers experienced and talented individuals. There is no more, and I think COVID showed us this, that there is no longer such a thing as a job for life anymore.
Right.
It doesn't matter which sector you're in.
What how prevalent would you say that the utilization of fractional executives are, you know, among businesses? And it's probably important to, you know, maybe specify that by part of the world or by size of business. But, you know, how would you describe the prevalence of people actually, of businesses actually utilizing this model?
In my research, I've been, you know, specifically in my literature review and even in the data that came from the interviews, is that it is increasingly becoming prevalent across various industries and markets. The literature review that I referenced, you know, included the 2016 McKinsey report that showed that 20 to 30% of the workforce in the US and EU engage in some form of independent work. So that speaks to independent work in general. Since then, it has been obviously on an upward trajectory. But also, you know, the demand for experienced interim executives, you know, the surveys that I looked at, you know, specifically from the global organization called Senior Management Worldwide, it highlights that interim executives are in high demand because of that shortage of key skills, with some 75% reporting consistent to growing requests. And that from a time period of 2011, you know, to even the present day. So it is growing in leaps and bounds, and specifically the industries that are engaging in this, you know, are found in the research that pharmaceutical industries, manufacturing, property management, and such are increasingly, you know, adopting this, where they tap into key talent as and when they need, scale up, scale down as projects, you know, dictate as well. And this also, you know, from a geographical spread, in Africa, it's still very, very new and very early. People do, you know, interact with it from a short-term contract point of view, but they are still not as articulate in the vocabulary about what is fractional and what is interim, which was a very interesting nuance that I also learned.
Right.
But specific again to the talent, you know, across the different markets is that, you know, the organizations require talent that you know will drive immediate impact, and that those are usually very talented individuals, highly skilled individuals that are beyond the financial reach of many companies.
Right.
Honestly speaking. Yeah.
How do you? You mentioned a lack of understanding about what interim versus fractional means. How do you explain to people what the difference between those two terms is?
That's a great question, Ben, and it's an ongoing debate, but it's very clear. I think, you know, when you look at interim, you know, interim is what this whole sector was initially called, even way back when I found in the papers from the 70s, specifically in the Netherlands. And interim speaks to, you know, a time-based, deep hands-on involvement at a senior level You know, either for turnaround or for a filling, a gap, filling of a gap that has been created, or even overseeing a turnaround or a specific transition that has to take place in an organization. That individual is fully invested for that time period. And they're
fully invested, meaning full time?
Like they're pretty much full time. They are pretty hands on, they are executing. Also, you know, when it comes to fractional, they are present, you know, they are executing on projects, but it's an indefinite relationship there, because that's somebody that you can always call on almost as an extended partner of your business, a trusted partner of your business, without necessarily the long-term commitment of overheads or even equity. Depends on that revenue structure that you negotiate and work with. But they offer similar, or exactly the same services. The difference is on scope and term, because interim is more on the short term, fixed term, the fractional is more of an ongoing basis with deep involvement and shared value.
Now, when you say ongoing basis or indefinite term, which you said a minute ago, I mean, is what you're seeing that fractional executives, when you say indefinite, does that mean like indefinite longish term, like could be for years? Or do you mean, you know, or do you mean something, or do you just mean that it's not a defined term, but it's not necessarily long term? Like, can you speak to that?
So what I do mean by that is that you're not bound by time in terms of the extent of that relationship. That's a resource that you can turn on and turn off, but that's a trusted resource, almost an advisor, who also goes and executes on some of those projects as you need them to. So it is not limited by term, but I think it speaks to more of the closeness and accessibility of that resource.
Mm-hmm. How long have you found is like the normal length of these relationships for fractional executives?
Yeah, so with working, like engaging with the team at senior management worldwide, you know, those terms do vary. They could be as short as 3 months in terms of the assignments, but they expand to 18 months, even a couple of years, because what happens within those work streams is that these individuals not only come in and establish, you know, standard operating procedures, and also, you know, steer the ship, so to speak, within a particular department. But then they also do, you know, identification of the gaps that exist so that the business can work towards closing those. Those gaps include skills training, on-the-job training, mentorship, and even looking at new areas for development that the business currently doesn't have the capacity to address and explore.
How do you explain to people, because I get this question a lot, what's the difference between consultants and fractional executive leaders? What's the difference?
That's a great question, Ben. You know, the consulting industry has received a very bad rap for many reasons, which I won't delve into, but one of the biggest perspectives and differences that people have with regards to what fractional and interim leadership is versus a consultant is that consultancies come and actually execute a project. They're not necessarily a partner. They are not there for the long term. Neither, and this is fundamental difference, that they don't execute per se the project. They come and do the research, do the scope analysis, and do the recommendations. But it is up to the management team to go in and implement that plan. Whereas fractional leadership and interim leadership, those individuals come and stay and are part of your leadership team, and right. They are there day to day as the plan begins and as it gets executed to its completion.
Thank you. Where have you found that fractional executive leadership doesn't work? Like, what kinds of companies or what kinds of situations have you find are not a good fit for that?
That's very important to know what. You know, what are some of the detractors for pursuing a fractional or interim leadership model in terms of operation? And so what I found, you know, in the research is that, you know, things like a lack of clarity on roles and expectations. That's one of the biggest you know, hurdles or barriers, I should say, for you know, fractional and interim leadership not working, because it is important that these individuals are given clear boundaries and scope within those boundaries, and empowered to make decisions in order for their effectiveness to be maximized. The other is also the integration with the currency. You know, as any professional will tell you who's worked at a senior management level, there are teams. There are incumbent teams that are there. There is a set culture that is there. And so when fractionals who are outsiders are not fully integrated or insufficiently integrated and thus empowered into the team itself, there will be friction and there won't be maximum, effectiveness. The other is from a time scale point of view, where, you know, if you come in and engage a highly senior and experienced individual for an extremely short term, like say a month or something like that, that's not a sufficient time to not only fully diagnose and do a feasibility study on a project, let alone execute towards it. A short term focus will hinder the potential for effectiveness and long term impact. And sustainability of that change. I'd say, just the last 2 points around that, some of the areas where fractional hasn't worked, it's basically, where teams are all predominantly outsiders. They are consultants, they are short-term contractors. There is no sense of long-term skin in the game, if that makes any sense, where there is an over-reliance of outside expertise. There has to be a fair balance. I think the majority of the board, or the exco, I should say, should be in-house and long-term and fully invested, with some 40% maximum being external expertise.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody point that out specifically before. That's very interesting.
Yeah, that came out for one of the from one of the a few of the cases that I engaged the panelists around, specifically in South America, where there was an organization that was launching in a market, and yet they hadn't set up a team yet, and so a lot of the team's members were external, and so that was an issue in terms of who really owns it, and who really makes the decision, and who's invested for the long term, and I think that compromised the effectiveness of this model. Yeah, there needs to be a balance. It's a healthy tension.
Very, very interesting. So mostly people who are invested in long term, no more than 40% ideally, from fractional or interim. Very interesting. Not working when you don't have sufficient clarity about what the person's role or the scope of the engagement is. That's going to be a major problem, or a lack of not enough time there. A lack of, depth of how the person's able to work with other stakeholders or, people within the business, all things that can make it not work out.
Absolutely. And there's one more, Ben, which I think is also very key. I think misaligned expectations and also resistance to change. The misaligned expectations when this individual comes in, when the expectations are not made clear in terms of what the scope of the challenge and the changes that need to be done are. And further, once they've interpreted and done the analysis, they put forward the recommendation, that resistance towards that change, it's dead in the water. That whole project
definitely
is dead in the water.
Relate to that one in some instances. Let me ask you this. So what's next for Sifi Sopule, right? What's next for you? You've got the MBA. I mean, you're still at the, head of strategy at Omnicom. Yep. What's next for you? What's the future plans?
I'm still curious, Ben. So it's by no means the end. I think, as any graduate of an MBA or other similar type of dissertations or certifications would tell you, is that this is just the beginning. And for me, first and foremost, having done the research, I would really like to get the results and the findings out there as possible. And, having this conversation with you is one of the ways, and specifically within the continent of Africa. There are projections around where Africa is growing towards that by 2050, we'll be one of the key markets for consumer goods and services in the world. And so that will require talent within those industries that will grow within the continent. and to drive that change and integration on the continent. And there has to be a bridge of skills and new talent that comes into those industries. And I feel fractional and interim is the best model suited for that, because mm-hmm. there is an over-concentration of talent in one center, for example, on the continent, versus, you know, the sparsely populated scattered talent that sits only in major cities. And I think fractional offers access to that across mm-hmm. geographies and in the countries on the continent. And so for me, I want to contribute towards that, creating those networks and marketplaces, if you will. But also, I want to continue further studying. So I'm pursuing a CFA certification on top of that as well, because I really want to get into higher value problems beyond just looking at marketing services angle level problems. I want to make sure that we can create opportunities that take the synergies of companies within certain sectors and have them be overseen with this fractional and interim talent to drive synergies, mm-hmm. to drive turnarounds and efficiencies for the future and create value. There's so much untapped value there because of what people don't know. I think working with global fractional integrators and interim integrators such as yourselves and senior leadership, senior management worldwide and a few others in other markets, tapping into those networks will help, you know, give those opportunities to people who want to offer their services on a fractional and interim basis. So that's the medium term, I could say, as far as I can see.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, look, I mean, with your, I mean, motivation, obvious experience and the curiosity, the ever learning, I mean, the desire to contribute, I mean, especially in the continent of Africa, and I'm sure yeah. elsewhere as well, you know, I'm sure you will make that big impact. So anyway, I appreciate you making the time for the conversation. I learned a lot from it. I think others will as well. We're definitely going to share this, and I appreciate you making the time.
Ben, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's really been fun being here and looking forward to, yeah, just furthering the gospel of interim and fractional leadership. Many people need to know about this as an option for them too.
Awesome. Yeah, no, me too. It's great. Never called it that before. The gospel of interim and fractional leadership. I appreciate it. So thank you very much for making the time, and everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.